Davidside. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Size Thursday Live.
Radio Size Thursday Live.
Dear listeners, loving sairams and greetings from Prashanthi Nilayam, the spiritual capital of the universe. This is Radio Sai's Asia Stream, and today being a Thursday, a warm welcome to all of you for today's Thursday Live. Till now, you heard the segment Morning Glory, and in its second half, Sister Karuna had played for you an episode from our radio series, Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories. And in that, you heard the second part of the conversation with conversation that Radio Sai's Bishop Prishti had with Brother Vijay Sai, an alumnus of Bhagwan's University. Part 3 of this conversation will be aired next week on Morning Glory. Now, after the segment Morning Glory, now it's time for the segment Service, Love in Action, and I am your friend Raghu from Team Radio Sai. Well, at the very outset, dear listeners, let us all collectively offer our most humble pranams at the lotus feet of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba, the voice and listener of Radio Sai Global Harmony. Today is 17th of July, and the time right now in our studio is 11:25 a.m. Well, it's a fine and pleasant day here at Prashanthi Nilayam Ashram, the abode of highest peace. In today's segment of Morning Glory, in today's segment of Service, Love in Action, in which we bring you accounts of Swami's love and our love for Swami translating into service to humanity, I'll be playing for you an exclusive interview with Professor Dr. Suresh Govind, a dynamic Sai leader from Malaysia. Professor Dr. Suresh Govind joined the Sri Satya Sai Baba Central Council of Malaysia in the year 1985 and is the current president of the organization. By the infinite divine grace of Bhagwan Baba, he has been instrumental in many nation-building programs in the country. He has authored 7 books mainly on human values and the universal teachings of Bhagwan. He is a professor of parasitology at the Department of Parasitology, Faculty of Medicine, University of Malaya in Malaysia. He has served as an expert member for the Drinking Water Guidelines Committee for the World Health Organization since the year 2004. He has also been appointed by the Prime Minister of Malaysia to be on the National Unity Consultative Council, a rare but distinguished honor for the Satya Sai Baba Central Council of Malaysia. In conversation with him is Radio Sai's Karuna Munshi, and this was recorded in our studios on 11th of this month.
Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome to a special conversation about the Seva efforts that are going on in Malaysia, key member of the ASEAN group of countries. And today, Brother Suresh Govind, or rather Dr. Suresh Govind, is going to apprise us of the nation-building efforts that the Sai organization is making in that part of the world. Sairam, Dr. Suresh Govind, and welcome to Radio Sai.
Sairam, Sairam, Sister Sairam.
Brother Suresh, we have been hearing wonderful stories about how the Malaysian Sai organization has, with Swami's grace, achieved great success in contributing towards nation building, and the government is recognizing it as a key stakeholder. What can you tell us about it?
Point is, the objective of the Satya Sai organization is threefold. One is to practice and promote human values inherent in all religions, practice and promote selfless service, and the practice and the promotion of fostering interreligious and interracial unity. Basically, these three is what a nation needs. And rightly so, Bhagawan has prepared us for this amazing work that needs to be done in every country. So we started this work since 1985, and since then, especially education in human values, through a team of dedicated teachers have gone to far corners in the rural areas and consistently have generated students equipped or empowered with human values. Now this was cascading and the numbers have grown. Today in Malaysia we have got almost 5,000 to 6,000 children under the Education Human Value Program, taught by about 470 teachers. This is now going on. As a result of our work in this area, we also went in and said that if human values are needed, then let us try and address the students who are low achievers, underachievers, having high social problems, have naughty, not attending classes in such groups. So we went into late 90s, we went into a school and asked the school to give us the worst class that you can ever find in the O levels, you know.
GC O levels. Where was this? In Kuala Lumpur?
In Kuala Lumpur. Mm-hmm. So we went into that class and the headmaster said that it is no point coming here because the students don't come to class. You're wasting your time and so on. But luckily by Bhava's grace, that headmaster allowed. And a team of volunteers, dedicated team of youth who are lawyers and doctors and engineers, every Friday from 7:30 to 8:30 went into the class and played games. Slowly the students came. We followed what Baba said. What is it? Come, experiment me, experience me, then accept me. So don't go and profess values and let them first experience the love. So the students started to come and every week we could see them transforming. These are 18 year students.
And they're just responding to the love.
Yes, the love. And literally after 6 weeks, we took them out. This program is called STAR. In Malaysia, we are quite okay with acronyms. STAR means Student Training in Attitude and Responsibility. So we took the students all out to a camp. And in that camp, they transformed. They came back. And then they had this earnestness to want to pass the exam, which really startled the headmistress. And she said, how is it that the students have now this thirst? And basically, went in, started giving free tuition. To cut a long story short, the headmistress came the following year in our national daily, the papers, and she said it's because of the Satisai Human Value Intervention Program that 70 sure failures passed.
Wow.
Yeah, so this was a phenomenal success. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, since then to now, over 1,000 over students from various schools have received the STAR program. As a result of this, we were then begin to become recognized as a niche group of people dedicated to converting or transforming this type of students. So the vocational training students, skill training students, and those students who failed for O levels and went into technical colleges, the principal called us and said, we have got huge problems with these students. Can you all do something about that? So we then again did this transformational work week by week. And the students changed. The principal was so happy. He became the coordinator for all the vocational training schools in Malaysia. And we had a training program for all of them in that manner. Literally, we began to become slowly, our recognition in this area began to become so amazing. Till a point where the Prime Minister of the country, as a result of seeing the increasing restlessness and gangsterism in schools, voiced it out to a minister. The minister then called us and said that you need to help us with this program. And now, literally 100 schools have been given to us with schools which has got high dense issues of this nature for us to enter and do work of this nature. So really speaking, what our approach was, go into areas where nobody else have gone. Go into areas where others won't dare to enter into those areas. Because we have the courage and the conviction that Bhagavan will be with us. And this is our message even to our volunteers. Because Bhagavan is not interested in the ability or even in your capability, but in your availability, whether you are available to such people. And we always believe poor students and not so hardworking students are not because they are lazy or silly or stupid. It's just that they don't have good role models to be in the forefront. And this is what we have done, and our government has now gained more and more trust and recognition in this area of work. It is becoming very phenomenal and is going at a very such a accelerated rate that we now need more and more volunteers to participate in this transformational work. This is just on human values, service, community service now. See, we again using the same formula. One is to just keep on doing work like giving soup kitchen, giving food of this nature, but that's 100 other organizations already doing it.
Every church, every charity group does that.
So why do we emulate the same example and wade in the shallow waters? Because the pearls are in the deepest corners, deepest part of the ocean. So can we dare to go into a community and do programs that nobody else seemed to be doing? So we went into the mayor and asked him, which is the community that is really ridden with all the problems? And the mayor of Kuala Lumpur City pointed to one area. And this is where 21,600 people were staying and this is supposed to be a black area noted for drugs and everything else. So Satisai volunteers again for a period of 2 years. After work, they will all enter into this area. This program is called ABC, Action for the Betterment of the Community, and for 2 years or 2.5 years, consistently worked in this community, deploying various initiatives of various types, including service activity, educational activity, and other transformational programs, to a point where the community started to embrace us and welcome us so willingly, simply because they could see the transformation taking place. 2.5 years, that means after work, after 4:30, 5 o'clock, they take out their shirt, the volunteers take out their shirts, put on their t-shirt, and they're on the field. And they work there till 10:30, 11 o'clock in the night. 11 o'clock in the night. This is the dedication.
That's very huge commitment.
Yes, but it was because the volunteers were committed. This is success in any nation can only come when they are committed volunteers. And why did we do? Because we love Bhagavan. What is the word if love in action is service? So we cannot keep saying we love God and stay in our altar and keep on putting flowers and singing songs. It has to manifest into something reality. And we are following what Baba did. You see, Swami went, he was given a statesman send-off in the final. Why, how did that achieve? Baba said, follow the master. You follow what I am doing. What did I do? I did not confine spirituality to a small corner or have bhajans. This was the basis, but the basis.
To go beyond it.
But we have to go beyond. We have to translate devotion and become relevant to society and community. This is the key word. If you are spiritual, you have to be consequential to society. This is our key message to our members of the Malaysian Satisai organization. And this, we have been driving this whole organization based on this basis. You are meditating? Alright. What is the consequence of your meditation? You are going for bhajans? What is the consequence of that bhajan? To somebody else, including yourself. That means first experience peace, have peace, feel peace. Now you've got to radiate that peace outside. So, that program in action for the betterment of the community, in that community, 21,700 people went into a climax where drugs started to reduce and people started to respond. Finally, on the final day, 2,500 people of residents came down and held hands and they said, down with drugs, up with values. They started chanting a slogan. Thousands of people participated. It like the whole community managed to empower the entire community to fight against drugs. The mayor at the end of the whole program released the statistics of the results of our 2.5 years of work, and he declared that crime in this vandalism was wiped out 100%, drugs came down by 80%, people hanging out without a purpose was wiped out by 75%. There was results that were simply staggering.
You could measure. It's amazing.
Yeah. And this is not our statistics released by the mayor's office. So the mayor asked, the mayor asked, why is it that the Sai Baba people are able to achieve these results, and why is it that we are not? The reply came from their own officers. They said, Sai Baba people always come there in the evening and work from 5 o'clock to 11 o'clock in the night. The problems of society comes only then. We finish our work at 5:30 and return back home. So literally, they saw and Baba's clarion call that the power of selflessness as the power to transform. So as a result of that work, which was done in 1999, which received such a highlight at that point, 10 years later, the ministry invited us to run a consultancy strategic workshop for all officers in the ministry. And Satisai organization went in, did that program, and they wrote us a letter. As a result of your success in that community, the action for the betterment of the community, we are very pleased to say that 15 or 10 other communities have been selected throughout Malaysia following the same model as what you have done, and we would like you to assist us in deploying this area. So from now, northern Malaysia to southern part of Malaysia, they have identified 10 dissimilar communities, and we have gone in such large measures, and transformation is now being seen in these 10 communities following the same model that we have now done in the late 90s. As a result of all this work, of course, the other work is going on. Visit to the old folks home, visit to the orphanage home, visit to the leprosarium, giving food to the poor. All these are what we call normal, ordinary activities. I'm not mentioning this because this is normally done everywhere. What is critical is, can we now go into areas where there is a social problem, where other organizations won't go? Even government will not be able to do. Can we go there? Because Swami is with us. So we must now develop courage and confidence to enter into those areas. Because you are going to be visible only in those areas, not in areas which is not done by others. Then is visibility our objective? No. But when you are visible, Baba once said, the sky is dark, and when the sky is dark, you will have lightning. After the lightning, then you will have thunder. So wherever you have light, where people see there is some light, whatever that we are saying, people will accept. Acceptance of what we are, acceptance of the philosophy, acceptance all comes from the fact that when we must do something that regains that recognition. So this is how at the government. Now comes the biggest breakthrough. Mm-hmm. At the premier university now, some of our members stood in the university and encouraged them to say, what is the point of having an educational scroll at the end of your education when the students are becoming selfish and self-centered? Now what they must do is they must serve society and serve community. So as a result of our insistence and as a result of our own evidence, a premier university has now made community service compulsory for all students irrespective of what faculties they are. And with these 2 credit hours are being given, it's examinable subjects, and we are asked to also become a consultant advisory to that particular whole group. And as a result of this, the ministry is now trying to invite us to institute the same kind of training program to all other institutes in the country to make every student will become socially connective to the society. Because what is the point of education when you're not helping society? What is the point? So we are translating the aspiration of Bhagawan Baba in very many ways that we can do, because it is something a nation can do. The third point is, after community service, is our unity. Today in the world, you know, the wars are being fought in the name of religions, and very difficult for many religious people who speak of peace and love to sit on the same table and to discuss. So thanks to the vision of our own founder, President Brother Jagadeesan, he formed this group called Friendship Group for Interreligious Service. And now all the religious leaders meet together regularly, and we deploy a lot of community service, we have even got an interreligious band, we got a youth band of our own, we were invited by the government to sing in many places. We have staged an interreligious drama where members comes from various religious groups. So we are now consistently invited in many places to provide them a platform to see what unity of faith is all about and how it can become a reality. Where Baba said, I have come to foster the roots of all religions. So making people, encouraging them to become stronger and deeper in their respective faith, but let us all work together for the sake of national solidarity and integration. This is what we have done very successfully, I must say. And that model has now become such a big group. We are now transmitting or replicating that model in every other state in Malaysia. So you see, the 3 functions of the organization, we have done it at our center levels, we have brought it at a national level, and we are now transcending that and to make it more pervasive. So it has been successful only because by a dedicated team of members who really give up a lot of their own personal comforts to make Sathya Sai's ideals a vision.
Wow, Brother Suresh, you've given us so much to think about. This is something that we have always dreamt of, that we have to go beyond the soup kitchens. Of course, we enjoy the work in soup kitchen and shelter for abused children or women, or doing our normal visit once a week, going to a nursing home and singing our carols. We have to go beyond that. But in Malaysia, you seem to have translated Swami's teachings literally into active nation building. And there are many things that come to my mind. For example, you're doing this in a country which has an Islamic climate, and one would expect there would be a lot of resistance. And on the contrary, in your case, you're being seen as a very constructive force of change. Secondly, the other thing that comes to mind, Malaysia is a very multicultural country with a very strong Islamic force. At the same time, the government wants to maintain racial harmony, and they look up to the Sri Sathya Sai organization as a key partner. And the third thing is, to keep surging ahead the way you are, you need to have a continuous training and motivation within your rank and file to have enough people to work with, because without proper human resources, the right kind of volunteers who can end their work day and begin their Sai day at 5:30, put on their t-shirts and work till 11, at the cost of their family time, personal comfort, this requires a lot of motivation and dedication. How do you achieve, first of all, the training of your volunteers and keeping their level of motivation going so that the work you have begun is sustained and then expanded.
See, the first is understanding deeply the significance of Bhagavan Baba's teachings. While simply going to a gym, your body will not be healthy. You have to actually walk on the treadmill by looking at other people exercise.
Oh, I wish that happened. I would have been the happiest.
By looking at other people exercise, there will not be a benefit.
I know. You have to sweat it out yourself, unfortunately, yeah. Yes.
So like that, people who attend the Satya Sai Baba centers, they must grow spiritually and understand in depth. This is what we have done. A lot of sadhana camps at the center level, at the state levels, a spiritual camp. Even next week now we're having a national Sai convention where 1,000 people are coming. We have invited our deputy president of India, Brother Nimesh Pandey, to come. We're getting external speakers because the fundamental root is devotion to the Lord. Number one is, as a result of the devotion, you must understand basic principles of what spirituality is all about. What did he say? He said, you do my work, your entire yoga shema for this life and the next, I will take care. The powerful statements, which mean to say, those who are participating willingly, we must look at evidence-based. By those who are actively going through their lives, what changes do they see in their personal career, in their professional career, in their family life? Is that blossoming or not? And we find most of the volunteers who come, they always see some very nice benefits coming as a result. Of course, we are not doing this for the benefits, but what we are saying is somehow Bhagawan is looking after us as the eyelid that protects the eye. So there is this comfortable feeling. It is not out of compulsion. It is that this is something that we are duty bound for our Father to make sure it happens. And why we are doing this so steadily is because we want other countries and other places to emulate. You see, it's just not Malaysia. Many other countries in the world, now we are having a world meeting, world assemblies, I'm able to see that so many countries are doing so many wonderful things. Many, many wonderful things. Amazing. Some of the things that is being done at certain places is really a lot. So we have to learn from one another, and that is why Bhagawan has allowed this opportunity to embrace ourselves with the whatever experiences, but to share that experience with everyone. So fundamentally, deep understanding of the spiritual practice. Number two, we have to follow the 9 code of conduct, because if you want to have this, you have to have spiritual stamina. Stamina comes from many, many places. You can have stamina at the level of the physical, the level of the mental, but these are all very exhaustive. Finally, after some time, you'll get exhausted. But when you have spiritual stamina, you are a marathon runner. You can be a 100 sprint runner, just calm, run, and for a while you'll be seen in the physical. But to consistently go on like this for 20 years, 30 years, where people are there, because this type of people who do this is because they see the end result. That vibration has to be spreading to a pool of people. So we have to have consistent satsangs. We are now doing in the centers spiritual transformation programs called STP, which we have taken from Australia. But more than 80% of the Sai centers in Malaysia now follow this. So the anchoring of the 9-point code of conduct gives a devotees that the spiritual stamina for them to do the kind of work that needs to be done. And it is more challenging. You see, you can draw a correlation. In fact, we have done that. Centers that are not active, you'll find the numbers are very small. Centers that are active, your numbers are big. It is a general rule. So if you're going to wait for resources to come, nothing will happen. But one must have the courage to go and find the project. Swami will send the resources. So you must have the feeling that you're rescuing Sita. All the Anumans and the bears and everybody will come to lay the bridge. But this is what should happen. And people must come from the experience. You see, if it is just a pseudo feeling, there'll be dropouts. But if it's a genuine feeling that they can sense, they'll come back. After every project, we come back that night or the next day, there'll be a phone call. Brother, this thing has finished now. What is next? What is next? I'll give you a very good example. I was in Bombay recently, and Bombay did a very big program. 2,000, 3,000 people came, and that program finished. Next day, I was with one or two devotees. And Uncle Indulal Shah telephoned that devotee who was standing with me and said, yes, yesterday's program was very... Uncle was saying, yesterday's program is very nice, everything. What are we going to do next for Baba? He's asking, I was the 94-year-old man. He's asking this question, what are we going to do next for Bhagawan? What a mind, what a soul, what an incredible evolution is that? Which is what every devotee should be asking. So what we are trained in our own ways, at the end of every program, it's like a powerful adrenaline pumping, endorphin. So every time everything finishes, then what do we do next? What can we do next? So when you have that enthusiasm, we are motivated to look for newer levels of platforms we should climb up to. And that is what it has been happening. And as a result of our work now, the Prime Minister has appointed appointed us to be in the National Consultative Council, which is about 29 people. So we are given chair there, which is also a recognition for the organization. So it all will come, except that we should be sincere, truthful, and pure toward ourselves.
What advice would you give, based on your experience in Malaysia, to countries which don't actively practice freedom of religion, or which are not secular, for example, as India is? And in those countries where, as in your case, Islam is the leading religion of the majority of the population, and also the official religion recognized, what is the best niche to carve for the Satyasai organization?
So the members must now go and look at what is the biggest problem that nation, that particular country is having. The biggest issues. Today, obesity is very, very high. Suicide levels are very, very high. Even among youth population, there are some countries with rates that are so alarming. Poverty is very... So go look into the furthest corner, see where the problem is, and go into that areas. Competition will be out of, there will not be any competition. Number two, that will be work that is so significant and relevant. By that work, you shall be known. By that work.
So very well said, yeah. Yes.
So don't go into areas where you are, the controversy is there, confusion is there, and people like to go there because that is shallow
easy.
Water. Easy.
That's easy work.
Yeah. So we don't do such things. We go. See, I am saying, how do we do marketing? See, how do we do when we are in the corporate world? We are not able to get sales. Is it okay? We don't do things like that. There's planning. There is very strategic leverage. There's market segmentation. How to go? We think in this manner. Why is it that the same mode of thinking is not applied when we come to the spiritual, which is more sacred than anything else? I think the same reverence should be given here as well. For this corner where people are really crying, that is where we should respond. And why should we do this? Because Bhagavan did that. In Swami said in one occasion, he said openly in one discourse where he said, today in the newspapers, one mother and child has died. Well, why has this happened? Why has the Bharatiyas have become so selfish and so self-centered as a result of this? I shall now launch Grama Seva. Look at it. He is now spiritual master. He is giving a way in which how human beings should respond. Read the papers. See where what is really needed. And then move into those areas and become relevant. He saw what someone bringing in Chennai, a glass of dirty water.
Yeah.
And immediately said, why water is being drunk like this? Therefore, water project. So I looked at Satyam. When I read Satyam Shivasundara, I mean, when we read, we are now got a very big groups of people reading Satyam Shivasundara, analyzing it, going very deep. When you read those books, that is evidences. That means to say, this is how the template of a spiritual master is, spiritual mind is. Whenever you see a problem, your mind must now come to a point where you must respond to it and have the courage and the conviction and become relevant. This is the call. Our master has done it. Swami said, follow the master. I am doing it. Why don't you? This is what he is saying. So if we can just follow what he has done or what the master has done, I think there is no more problems. We are thousands and thousands and thousands of people around the world. If the whole world were to think like this in this manner, where will there be problems?
So even just the Sai devotees are in millions.
Yeah, millions, yeah.
If all of us thought along those lines that we will go where no man dares to step in,
yeah,
and take up the biggest challenge, what a difference we can make.
Totally different. Because why? Swami says, I am in your heart. You go into it. It is not you are doing so. We always tell our people, don't even think for a second that it is you who is accomplishing all this. That is why in Malaysia, although we have achieved so many things, we are very well aware that nothing can happen if not for His grace or if not His will. He is energy. He is permission. He is thoughts. So that is why we take the highest challenge. Because in the highest challenge, our logical mind is not in operation. There is another software that is now coming into our system. So when we go into that, we get connected. That is why it's an adrenaline. We are becoming adrenaline. So whenever we get connected, we find that the euphoria of doing something like that becomes so exciting in areas uncharted, in places that really needs work. And not in the various ways so many others are doing it and then you continue doing the same piece of work. Firstly, it creates routine. Second, it becomes mundane. Third, it creates boredom. Then you find people losing that enthusiasm, and that is why numbers are dwindling. So numbers that are dwindling, center chairman and center leaders must ask themselves, what kind of projects are you having? Why is it that your numbers are going? You cannot keep saying, no, we are interested in quality, we are not interested in quantity. But unfortunately, the truth is, if you have quality, quantity will be there. Quality attracts quantity.
What would you say to Sai devotees who have very good intentions and who love hearing all these stories, and they say it fills their heart with joy that so much good work is being done in Baba's name, but they are too busy and their life is too occupied and they have too many responsibilities. It's for someone else to do out there, but not them.
Then Swami said two things you must remember, death and God. Because at the end of the day, one is going to die. So why this thought consistently comes to one person is that he doesn't think he's going to die. So if tomorrow you go to the hospital and doctor says, I'm so sorry to say you have got fourth stage cancer, you only got 3 months to live, your entire paradigm changes. Your priority in life changes, your relationship with things changes, your entire outlook changes by just that one information. But unfortunately, that truth is the same for everyone. It's just that you may not die tomorrow, you may die 20 years later, but the death is inevitable. When death is inevitable and that consciousness is consistently thinking, there is sudden burst of spiritual awareness that this whole world is just a temporary transit for the evolution of the soul to take place. Then you become more anchored that you are here for this particular purpose, because in Prema Vahini, Baba said, banana trees, planting trees are planted. From the planting trees, you can get leaves, banana leaves. Banana leaves, you can eat on banana leaves. You can wrap things with using banana leaves. Even the tree bark can be used as a bridge. Even they can be used as ceremonial decorations in marriage ceremonies and so on. It can be used even as leaves for you to eat on. All these are incidental functions of a banana tree, but the real purpose of a banana tree is to get banana. So the real purpose of human life must become more glaringly obvious when the dangling death is staring at you. Every devotee who knows this, as Swami said, two things you must never forget, death and God. Every word Swami has uttered is a magical word. It's the mantra to open up. The realization must be. That means every line he has uttered is a line meant for the soul to become awakened. So we must see this. And whatever that you are doing is also for happiness. You want to do work, it is to get money and to profit and to have some pleasure in house. You are having a family life, that is also for happiness. But by doing Bhagavan's work, the work that you are doing in your office becomes much easier. You will get your results much faster. This is our experience.
Mine too. And many people have told me that when they dedicate their time to Swami, the challenges in their personal life become easier and easier.
Yeah, because you know why? You're tapping the consciousness. Your personal consciousness, when it resonates with universal consciousness, that is equivalent to materialization. That means to say, when personal intentions resonates with universal intentions, you are tapping into universal consciousness, solutions come into us, so the world opens up new ways of thinking, new paradigms to think, therefore the solution becomes so obvious, whereas the other person only gets into a maze and continues to struggle with a maze and occasionally comes to the spiritual center or the Sai center to make sure whatever that he has is safeguarded. Because center or Baba becomes a property maintenance manager to maintain what he has got. This is the thing. The transaction is that. But what he has come is, can you love me for love's sake alone? Can you love me not because that I'm looking after all these things, but love for the sake of love alone is devotion, is prema, is bhakti. So that kind of energy must be infused in the devotees, must be infused in all of us, and that is what that keeps it going. You know, and it has achieved to some degree success, but again, every success we get, we are very humble because we start to think, can we do this way? So this consistent thing is what keeps life going. Otherwise, what else is there? If we are waiting for the next thing, what else can we achieve? What else can we do? Now, where is that biggest problem? So now this gangsterism thing, 100 schools have come. It's a huge task. How do we do this? Now, how do we get resources? Who is to go and get this done? So the whole vision, this is one step. We have taken the one step to say, yes, we will accept the challenge. 100 steps he will take to us. And this is our experience. In every way that we have done, we work with limited resources. There's no money, nothing. Sometimes we agree to many, many programs and we don't have dollars and cents. I'll give you a good example. The last Asian drama, we came to Guru Purnima here and we openly said, all Asian those countries here, please organize a competition and the best school will come to Malaysia. We will host it. We will give all the hotel accommodation, food, everything else. It will be totally borne by us. We announced it in Guru Purnima 2 years ago. Then when we came from the stage, people asked, where are you going to get the money? We have openly declared to everybody that this is and everybody will come. But true enough, as we, once we declared and we went back home, there was somebody who saw the beauty and the majesty of that whole program. People came and willingly gave whatever that they wanted to give, and we managed that entire competition without taking a single cent from any of the Asian countries. So why is this possible? You take one step, God will take 100 steps, provided intention and motive must be pure and noble.
That's the key. Now, when you decide to take up a project, how do you approach the agencies involved, the decision making, and how do you introduce yourself as a group?
We have now openly said that we come from the Sathya Sai Baba organization. Our organization is multiracial, multireligious. We are an NGO dedicated to the promotion of human values and selfless service and national unity and so on. This is our introduction, the way we introduce ourselves. Of course, the term, then is it a religious body? You know, this is the usual thing. And we say we are a spiritual service organization. Every week our members come. We've got members, Chinese, many races all come and participate in the spiritual congregation when we do this. But our emphasis is to do service, and we gather, and this is all what we do, and we look at the book. So our profile, what we have done is we've got a very nice curriculum vitae, which is very colorful book. If someone sees that, they will be able to understand where we come from and who we are. So it is important for us to say the right words and project yourself in the right manner in which what Bhagavan wants, and not to be deluded. So we really go for the message, and people get so many hours you're doing, and we don't take any cent from anybody. So they're very surprised that we are doing so much of voluntary work without taking money. And this is all is very, very, very encouraging.
But that's your introduction to the organization. How do you introduce Bhagwan to them?
We say he's a universal teacher, chancellor of a university, humanitarian and so on. There's no necessity for us to project him in any other way, because what we want is basically the acceptance of the program that we are giving now. This is what it is.
But all of those terms are also true. He is a universal teacher, he is a divine chancellor, he is a humanitarian.
And that is how we project, and that is how we say what Baba is, and it is accepted. You know, when Bhagavan left his physical coils, almost 1,500, nearly 2,000 odd people came within a few days to Kuala Lumpur. We hired a very big hall, and that hall also was given to us by someone who was sympathetic to the whole cause, and everyone came and gave tributes to all the religious teachers. All the religious teachers came there and gave their discourse. A Muslim scholar came on the stage, and she made us cry. She's a senior professor, she said. Why are you all so sad? He has just left his house and have now come into your hearts and made it as a new home. Muslim scholar is saying that to us. So we see, that is the goodwill that we have built over the years and the reputation that we have gained. So other religious masters came, teachers came and comforted our devotees at that point on which everybody was scrambling to find real meaning. It is so good and so beautiful to see that happening in a country like ours. So it's really how you want to make it happen. I think the Swami said, the whole world outside is only a reflection of what is inside. So when something is not really happening in your country, we have to check within ourselves what is our motive, what is our intention, how are we projected, what is the zeal that you have, how many people are you trying to move, what programs are you doing, is that program? Everything you ask this type of questions, you will find you will get answers which will be guiding us to bigger, glorious states.
Now, Brother Suresh, to achieve what the Sai devotees in Malaysia are achieving with Bhagwan's grace and blessings, it requires a lot of unity amongst members. Actually, people who are united don't tend to complain, but every now and then there'll be somebody who'll say, I love all the work, but I don't like to get involved with the organization because of issues of interpersonal clashes and personality clashes, so-called politics. What advice would you give to everyone to stay united, and so that the program or the organization can surge ahead without leaving anyone behind?
I think what is important, what Malaysia did for many years, for the last 30 years, I think this is our real breakthrough. The choice of leaders is because what we do is we don't put anybody on the chair. They must have served the center, and they must have really seen leadership quality at this level of the center. Then he's promoted to the state level. Then at the state, he must have sufficiently done something for him to be roped at the national level. So literally, it is a succession planning which is for years and years. It is not somebody that just came in yesterday and they put in there. Because why? We are very conscious of the fact that you are managing souls. You see, we are like shepherds. We are bringing the souls to God. There must be maturity in the leaders, there must be sincerity, and there must be certain truthfulness, and you must not have other agendas and all that. So, there is a fraternity that we must cultivate.
What about the ego that comes with position and power?
Yeah, this is why we take it from the young. It is not, I'm not saying now that all of you, we are all very fantastic. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that problems at a very minimal level, where it can be managed, when you have good leaders, groomed from where they are to the point where they are right now sitting. At every state level, center levels, we make sure that such a succession planning is there. So anyone is suggesting a name, the first question we always ask is, what have you done in your center level? So there is a kind of a rigorous process in which we pull the people inside. So if, for example, in Malaysia, we have an EXCO. EXCO is a group of leaders who sit and manage the whole operation of the country. We are representing the council. So a group of 15 of us do that. Every month we meet. Our meeting starts at 8 o'clock and it finishes almost 12:30 midnight, 1 a.m. And we have so much of fun, I know, because the group of people is such a fantastic group of people, lot of joy, laughter, and in that midst of that we manage the whole thing. So we don't see people as leaders, we see as a group of people, that the synergy must be there. And when you step out, then people speak differently, he's like that, then you are not being exactly following Baba's teachings, where what you are you should be. So I think this is fundamentally, you are a human being. Then you are a devotee. Then you are a leader. But when you transcend the first two and reach the third position by passing that, that is where the confusion is. And many places, this confusion becomes very chronic. Simply because, you must know how to drive a car. Then you will learn how to drive a flight. But when you're sitting on the flight chair, aeroplane, you're sitting in the flight, you must know where the flight is going. So in Malaysia, we make it very in this manner. So we have got clear visions, clear thing by 1-2 years, this is what that should happen. So we encourage people to give all kinds of ideas, but at least this aspect must be achieved. So we rarely go to places and see, okay, what is it you want to do? We encourage that. We encourage incorporation of idea, but the idea which you're suggesting must be better than the idea that is being suggested. Then we incorporate. So this kind of inclusion areas is where you must drive spiritual so that everybody gets a uniform thing. Otherwise what will happen is some one leader in one place, one corner will run it the way he thinks he's running because his consciousness is of that level. He will ordain and dictate and manage that whole group according to his level of consciousness.
Now what about centers that operate in family homes and then are run by family members? So they have their own vision.
We in Malaysia, we initially had that, but the moment you don't become bhajan unit or a family and become registered to center, then we are governed by the center regulations. The center is now has got a state coordinator. The state coordinator must report to an accreditation committee. So there are all rules and regulations. We visit those areas, we do auditing and all that, and certain things that are not in place, we say what it is, should be said in polite, encouraging, loving, family manner, and most of the time it's always generally accepted because we are not so ridiculously saying something or dictating certain things. But it's all in the way in which you project and the way in which you manifest. So obviously, and you are right, because in some places, however perfect your system is, you will always find there will be some pockets of people who might have continuous this kind of issues. That is inevitable. You cannot avoid that. So what we do is, those who are willing to follow, we manage to follow, and those who are not so willing, you will find that the beauty of what we are doing suddenly may become a realization, then you will slowly follow. But we know that what we are doing is bringing results, so eventually everybody will follow. So Malaysia, we never had any such distinct issues and problems. We manage it quite well.
Now, despite the fact that you have multicultural membership in the Sai organization, the Malaysian Sai organization is predominantly made up of people of South Asian extraction, people of Sri Lankan and Indian origin. How do you ensure that you're not perceived as a Hindu group?
Yeah, because you see, the former president, before I took over, was Brother Billy Fong. Billy Fong now is the central coordinator. And we have got a very big Chinese population in the Sai organization. In fact, to such an extent that Brother Billy, who stepped, now he's became the vice president for Chinese community, and there's such a big Chinese community who has gone into schools. And you know, I don't think there's anywhere in the world that is happening now. In East Malaysia, Sarawak, there is a newspaper which carries every week a small column of message of Sathya Sai Baba. Every week.
What language people?
In Chinese.
Wow.
In Chinese. And every week.
Mandarin.
Yeah, in Mandarin. Yeah. So this is happening. So there is a huge, for Baba's birthday, we have a huge big Chinese community coming in. So the, and for Chinese New Year, we bring a flight load of Chinese here. Mm. So it is not basically perceived like that. We have a good group of Chinese and Indians together. Muslims can't be members because that is already a government regulation. But we have other members who do come. So we are seen as multiracial in many sense of the word.
Based on your experience in Malaysia, what advice would you give Sai devotees who are operating in countries such as Malaysia, Islamic countries?
In countries that are predominantly Muslim, or there's a Muslim country. Indonesia is a good example. There's a predominant Muslim
country. Yeah, and your neighbor?
Neighbor also. They have succeeded so well in the Education Human Value program has now been accepted by the government, and they're really doing very, very, very well. It's all about, again, doing some things that the government feels that you are relevant to them. If you are having a building and a photograph and you want members to come and just clap, they will see, hey, who is this group of people in my country creating this? But if the members are motivated to go and teach the Muslim children, go and be relevant, be useful, you'll find that acceptance will come. It takes more time, but I'm saying that the acceptance will be more tangible, visible, sustainable in that manner. So doing things that others are not doing, that is the key. And that is what we have now been accepted in this manner.
You've been a part and parcel of the Sai organization pretty much all your adult life.
Yeah, youth life also.
Youth life also. May I ask, brother, how old you are?
Right now?
Yes.
I'm about 53.
Okay. Dr. Suresh Govind, you've been with the Sai organization for about 30 years, most part of your youth and adult life.
Yeah.
And you're only 53 years old right now. What advice would you give future Sai leaders so that they may play their role as you think Bhagwan would expect them to?
Yeah, I think the first thing people must do, because, see, the future Sai leaders, you see, like we were a bit fortunate, not bit, we are very fortunate to have direct contact with Bhagwan Baba. We have seen his love, and many of us are so motivated and captivated. The future leaders who come to the organization may not have that opportunity. Yeah. So this actually, the responsibility, the responsibility comes again to with people like who have had that experience to become, to really live their lives in such a manner that people can see that they are visible transformation seen, and we must walk the talk. So it becomes a greater responsibility really from this group of people who are now existing to provide the bridge to the next one. And that is so important because they don't have that experience of having in touch. And then for them to be sufficiently motivated to participate literally means they are only going to do that if the existing leaders continue to do. That is why there is a statement in our Sai organization: leaders who are stepping down should not step out. They should be within. So very often you always find whenever the position is there, they all will be very active for a while, and then when they resign or step down, suddenly they disappear from the scene. They don't even come. Sometimes they don't come even to the Sai centers. So we wonder why were you active? Were you active only because of the position? So these are very important questions, soul-stirring questions that we must ask. So really, if we are here for the salvaging of our own soul and for the redemption of our own soul, then I think it is very clear that those, even if you step out, the same enthusiasm and fire must be there, and this fire and enthusiasm then can be seen by the future leaders. So this continuity must exist, and it is for the future, for us to become the mirror so that the future leaders can see the reflection of Sati Sai in the way in which we live in our life, so that they continue to be inspired. The key thing is inspired, because you can't run the organization with instruction. I mean, if you run it with instruction, you will run it for a short while, but it will be a lot of work to push through. But if you want something to go through, it must be inspired. So inspiration is only coming from when people of that level continue to work selflessly and produce the results to create that wave of inspiration. And the future leaders then get ignited. Then that once you are ignited with that inspiration, it will not go. See, the level of inspiration, like when you suddenly see at the level of the mind, then you may function for a while. But from the level of the mind, to get it down to the level of the spirit, it becomes more sustainable. Once you get to the idea that I am here in this world because I have to redeem my soul, my life is only too short, I have to do whatever I can, I must make sure I achieve the highest and then retain humility and practice the sadhana and all that, you'll find a lot of things can be achieved.
You touched on a very important note. To have a position to achieve what Bhagwan expects of us and yet to retain humility, because that's where a lot of sense of entitlement or ego, so to speak, comes and creeps in. How do you retain the humility and always remember that you're only an instrument, and as long as you remain hollow, the Lord shall use you?
Yeah, I will tell you. You know, when we do all these big things, thousands of people come, brother is fantastic, brother it's amazing, it's really good. When those accolades come, at that moment the mind, you can visualize, the mind will start wanting to break away from your restraint and run to embrace those things and say, yes, I am. So when you are in that, yes, you know, I'm great, I'm great. So when the mind starts to go into that mode, you know very well you're slowly sinking. But to consistently become aware that, oh yes, it's all swam, to achieve something and to surrender it, that is sadhana. Not doing anything and then saying I'm humble, what is there to be proud of? You must achieve the highest thing and get the greatest thing and then stand apart and say, Swami, this is for you. And have that struggle to retain that modesty and humility. That is sadhana in action. But not achieving anything. No, we don't want to achieve great things because Baba said to be humble. Achieve great things and be humble. That is the sadhana. Not having anything and to be humble, there's nothing great about it.
Exactly.
So this is where the
sadhana. That's complacency. That's escapism.
Yes. In your professional work, you must be aspire to become a multimillionaire. You must aspire to be a CEO. You must achieve the highest, the best, the best. In my university profession, I'm a university professor. I've done reasonably quite well in my own career. I must achieve all what that is to be expected. And then stand apart. Swami, this is all for you. This, I'm not the doer. I'm not the doer. I must constantly. This reminder and constant awareness is what that keeps spirituality at bay and keeps spirituality navigating your thing. Otherwise, you'll be swept away. And people, then you start looking for these great things because it gives you that adoration. Swami taught me this lesson because we have staged in India 10 or 12 presentations in front of Bhagavan Baba. We are very blessed that Swami gave us that opportunity, and Swami has somehow blessed me to write scripts, and I have done that. Somehow it just flows, although I'm a scientist in many ways, but somehow this talent seemed to have come to me, and I do write. Last Chinese New Year, this experience was given to me, where I finished the whole play. And normally I'll never go to the sound side, I'll give it to the youth, and the youth will go to the sound side and they will check the sound and everything will be right, and I will not go, and I'll just go to the stage and then wait for the Swami to come. But the voice kept coming inside my heart, go and check the sound. So I was saying, why I should have the boy? So I telephoned one of the youth and said, how's the sound system, brother? Everything okay? We have already checked, the sound system is excellent. So I, okay, thank you. I switched off the phone. Then the inner voice it became louder and louder in me. Go and check the sound. So finally, I decided to go to the sound system, and uncle, can I check the sound? Uncle said, that uncle who normally said, that your brother has checked, he's okay. No, uncle, let me check. So I checked the sound system. Track 1 was okay. Track 2 was okay. I was about to take the headphones off. Suddenly, the thumb, check. Suddenly when I put it on, after 45 seconds, blank. I checked track 3, blank. Track 4, blank. Track 5, blank. The rest of the CD was blank. Wow. I said, uncle, this is all blank. What's happening? No, how this has never happened in this studio. What do you mean? How come it's blank? Do you have other CDs? We had 6 other CDs. 6 other CDs we quickly put. All 6 are blank. And Swami is going to come out any time now. And
what's the panic, huh?
Swami, how can Swami, it's coming out any time. And this is Chinese New Year. And this is for Chinese New Year, Chinese play, and everything must go smoothly. Because, you know, they have this culture and tradition, everything must be right. If something goes wrong, it's not good. I was really, so that moment I prayed to Swami, I know this is your Leela, this cannot be, why is this happening? I really prayed. We tried to put it in different sounds, it's all coming out, crikey and all these things. And it came out in different sounds. I was really worried. And then I surrendered to Swami, and suddenly Swami's one student came. He said, what's wrong, brother? Sir, this is not working. So he tried, he don't know what all he did, put the plug here, put the plug there. He said, this is amazing. He did, I don't know what he did. Suddenly, just as the sound of the signal that Swami is coming, this track became alright. And then I ran, all was ready, and then I quickly ran across the Cyclone Hall and stood behind the stage, and the play went very well. But I was, at that moment, it made me think, everything It is his, in his control. We think we are scriptwriter, we think, but everything to the minute corner, he gave me that reminder. Hey, I am in control. I am the one who is doing it, not you. You understand? So it was a really powerful lesson, reminder actually, really, to become aware that it is he who is the internal thing. So we just surrender to him and make things happen. And those who really do it, you will find a lot of results in your own center, a lot of results. Actually, the degree of activity will largely depend upon how much you have surrendered. This is the mathematical formula. The more and more you give it to him, the more and more your center will blossom. More. Why? Because Baba said, my life is my message, expansion is my life. He saw me said that. That is the formula, which means to say that if my life is my, what is expansion? All my consciousness will expand, everything should be expansion. Expansion, therefore, is the natural formula for growth. So centers will grow, organization will grow, if we let go of our own petty egos and surrender to the Lord and say, you are the one, come on, give me something I'm prepared to do. But the point is, he will not provide, you must have the willingness to go and do it. The doors will open. See, the sail of the boat is kept under the armpit, the ship won't go. You have to unfurl it, put it there, then the wind of sigh will push the ship or the boat to the sea of success and arrive at the port of success. But we take the sail, wrap it up and put it on, where is the wind, why are you not blowing, why is the ship so stagnant, and why there is no growth, why there is no moon? Because you have not put the sail up. If you put the sail up, the sigh's wind is always blowing, but you must put the sail up. Which means to say, you must say, I will be able to do it. I can transform this. I must have that. That is confidence. When you have that confidence, you will be happy, satisfaction will come. Automatically, Baba said, self-satisfaction is the first step to sacrifice. Then you start giving up more and more, and then people get realization, which is what Swami said. This is the sequence of events of spiritual transformation that one must have.
Very beautifully said, brother. So much to learn from the Malaysian Sai story. Now, is there a website that our listeners can go to learn more about what you do?
Yeah, if you just put Satisai, I think www.satisai Malaysia, I think you'll get it.
Satisai Malaysia.
Yeah. Satisai Central Council of Malaysia, the website will go, yeah.
Satisai Central Council of Malaysia. Wonderful. So inspiring to hear you, and to just, I'm sure the listeners will catch the vibe of your enthusiasm. You're so with it, and it's been great for us to hear of the Seva stories. We earlier had Brother Dato Jagdishan here, and I know that story touched a lot of hearts, and now to hear from you, it's been very, very humbling for us to know the good work that's happening here.
But only one point is that,
sure,
as devotees embrace this path and as they continue, you must also expect that there will be challenges. I've always said all the rosy pictures, but as we are moving through, Baba will put a lot of challenges. And in your personal life, there will be challenges in your... This is natural because you have entered into the sea. But Baba will not give a challenge if he knows that you have the capacity to endure it. So the key word in spirituality, I have realized over the years, is one word called endurance. You must have the ability to endure. Which means to say, you must be able to juggle, you must have the... So the point is, nothing in life is going to come where you will be totally free, and then that is the time when you do the seva. It's not going to happen. The moment you commit to something, that is when your office will also tell you this, you need to be, and that is when your relatives will come to your house. Everything will
tell
happen.
Me about
yeah. Everything will happen. Happen at a time when you have committed to something.
Yeah.
And when you're not committing to anything, it is interesting, you'll be totally free. Then you'll wonder why this project could have come this period where I'm more free. It doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Consciousness is when, the moment you touch it, everything else will be triggered. So the key thing is that one need to know how to balance everything.
Multitasker.
So that is why our brains are there. We find after death, the time of the death, the brain weighs much lesser. Every day we are losing about 50,000 neurons. The whole message is that if you don't use your brains to multitask and endure and do more and more and more, you'll find ultimately these neurons will not be useful, you'll weigh less. So the whole idea of spirituality is optimally use your old talents. Give every skill and talents and potentials. By the time the deathbed comes, and when you are in the ICU, and why are you in the ICU? Because God is telling, I want to see you. So when you're in the ICU, when you're in the intensive care unit or whatever, in the hospital, in the last moments, the only thing in life you will have is the satisfaction that you have lived in this world, you have lived it well, transformed as many people as you can, and give crash to Swami's Loga and embrace him, that Baba, I have come back to you. So that feeling must be totally there. And I think this is the ultimate vision of every individual. What more is there? Love everybody. Don't put every small little thing, make things petty. There are a lot of people take a lot of time and trouble in making small issues big and then, you know, going into silo mentality. Love everybody. Care for everyone. Because ultimately you are yourself a transient, and that is why after bhajans, that small boy comes and gives you paramam pavitram bhava vibhuti and vibhuti, and you place it on your forehead to remind yourself that you are as fragile as this, and I will one day become as ash as how I place on my forehead. So life is as transient and temporary. You must have that. This gives you a lot of power of strength, endurance and commitment. And just give yourself and burn every part of you and merge with the divine as what the overall objective of life is.
Wow. Sage advice from a person your age. Thank you so much, brother.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Great talking to you, Dr. Suresh Govind.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so for this opportunity. Thank you, Radio Sai. I really wish all the listeners who listen to this, just go within and after this session, look within and say, am I doing enough? Am I giving excuses? Can I just extend and increase by just 1 hour in a week? The world will be a better place to live in.
We concur.
Thank you.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. 12:20 p.m. and it's a beautiful afternoon here at Prashanthi Nilayam. Dear listeners, once again, loving Sai Ram and greetings from Prashanthi Nilayam. This is the segment, Service Love in Action, and I'm Raghu from Team Radio Sai. So as part of today's segment of Service Love in Action, you heard a conversation with Professor Dr. Suresh Govind, a dynamic Sai leader from Malaysia. In conversation with him was Radio Sai's Karuna Munshi, and this was recorded in our studios just a week back this month. We are looking forward to your feedback and comments on this conversation. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. So now it's time for me to sign off for today. I place this segment at Bhagawan's lotus feet, and I thank him profusely for giving me this opportunity to host this segment, Service Love in Action, week after week, every Thursday. In a while from now, after listening to a beautiful song, you'll be joined by Prem and Arvind for today's afternoon satsang. I'll be meeting you again next Thursday. Jai Sai Ram.
निकलूरते सब जग उपजिया
धर्म सब ही एक समान सिख ईसाई हिंदू मुसलमान धर्म सब ही भाजी एक समान भाजी धर्म सब ही भाजी एक समान भाजी सिख ईसाई हिंदू मुसलमान सिख ईसाई हिंदू मुसलमान बोलिए बोलिए जी खुद जोरा
हमारी ओ बोलिए कौन सी जाति है वो मानवता की जाति हमारी समता समग्रता समैक्यता सहभ्रातृत्व
भेद ना जात पात का हरी धर्म ना ऊंच नीच का हरी भेद ना जात पात का हरी धर्म ना ऊंच नीच का हरी तेरे दर पे आए वो सब ही एक हो जाए वो सब ही एक हो जाए वो सब ही एक हो जाए न जात पात का है भेद यहाँ न ऊंच नीच का धर्म है यहाँ न जात पात का है भेद यहाँ न ऊंच नीच का धर्म है यहाँ भाषा हमारी एक हृदय की हाँ मानो या न मानो आकर देखो जन 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 सारी के दरबार में है कलयुग की आज परंपरा पुरानी बदल गई है आज काली घटा छाई है कलयुग की आज काली घटा छाई है कलयुग की आज
बलवालम दे विद्या
अर्थवान लभते ज्ञानम
बलवालम दे विद्या
भगवान लभते ज्ञानम
तोबा 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 तोबा
ओ
है विद्या दर दर पे देखो आज,
बिक रही है विद्या दर दर पे देखो आज।
इस घन घोर अंधेरे में ये रोशनी किधर से उठी है।
हर गम